the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1, reading from verse 19 to the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 19 to the end of the chapter. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to be bring to naught those things that are, and that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth in, let him glory in the Lord. And then if you'd like to turn over to Luke chapter 9, I'm going to read two verses from Luke chapter 9, verses 7 to 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 7 to 9. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this, of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And then just over to Luke chapter 13. And verse 31 of Luke chapter 13. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And then finally over into Luke 23. Verses 8 to 12. Luke 23, verses 8 to 12. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And we do ask the Lord's blessing on his word now. Amen. As you know, our brother has been preaching through the life of Solomon. And just recently, we've been considering that visit of the Queen of Sheba to Solomon. And after our brother had been preaching on that visit, I was reading about Herod. And it struck me the differences between these two rulers, Herod and the Queen of Sheba, and the results of their encounter. The Queen of Sheba meeting Solomon and going away believing. Herod, meeting with Christ and going away not changed. A hardened man. A man that went out and made friends with Pilate. And I was thinking about these contrasts between the two, and that's why I want to consider Herod this night. The differences and the similarities are there. The Queen of Sheba, a queen, a ruler, obviously with power and great authority in the land that she ruled in, and also great riches. Herod, not as powerful, not as rich, liked to be known as King Herod, but he was still a ruler, someone that had power and authority. But both hear the word of God, and their results and the effect upon them is completely different. But as we consider this, we can take one step back, and again we can look and see how the Lord deals with people as individuals. Deals with them in different ways, but the Lord deals with all men and women. As I said, in individuals, but these meetings are given to us in Scripture for our instruction, for our learning, and we can learn lessons. Our brother has brought out those lessons about the Queen of Sheba, but we can learn lessons about Herod and how we could deal with people like Herod by the way our Lord and Saviour deals with him. So I said, God deals with individuals. And I wanted to read that passage from Corinthians, because we read, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble are called." But again, when we consider Herod and the Queen of Sheba, not many mighty are called, but some mighty people are called. Some nobler people are called. Not all, but some are. And so we're to pray for those rulers that have authority over us, that have rule over us. We might think they're hard men. We might think they're powerful men, that they're very rich, but they still need salvation. Whether they be queens, kings, presidents, prime ministers, despots, or dictators, no one in this world is too powerful to be called by the Lord. No one is too rich not to need salvation. And we see how the Lord deals with the rich, the powerful. We know how the Lord deals with the lowly, with the Zacchaeus of this world and others, with the blind, with the halt and the lame. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples in Matthew 19. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." It's not impossible for a rich man, but they can find greater hindrances perhaps than those that don't have wealth. But the gospel is to be preached to all, rich and poor, servants and rulers, people in authority, people with no authority. All again are in the need of the gospel. And we know that because the word of God tells us, doesn't it? "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one is righteous, no, not one." Being a ruler, being in authority, doesn't give anybody any righteousness. Having great wealth, like the Queen of Sheba, did not put her in the right. Having that power invested in him by Rome didn't make Herod righteous at all. The Queen of Sheba went to Solomon. She had heard about Solomon. She had heard about all that had been done in the nation of Israel about the temple. And she wanted to find out the truth. She went with her eyes opened. She went with her heart to seek after the truth. And she departed and said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne over Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he the king to do judgment and justice. The Queen of Sheba departed, having learnt about the Lord, rejoicing in her heart, saying, blessed be the Lord thy God. What a contrast with Herod. He met with Christ. And what do we read in verse 11? And Herod set his men of war, set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. Herod, having met with Christ, continues to mock and pour scorn on Christ. No effect upon Herod. And he went away and became friends with Pilate. The Queen of Sheba went away and was friends with Solomon, because her eyes had been opened. She had realized that Solomon's God was now her God, and so she could be friends with Solomon. Herod continued an enemy of Christ. And so we can see the Queen of Sheba and how the Lord dealt with her. And this is why I want to contrast with Herod. The Queen of Sheba, as we learnt, she travelled a great distance. She had to go to great efforts in getting that assembly to travel all the way up to Solomon. There was Herod in Galilee. Christ was never far away from Herod. We read in the first reading from Luke that Herod had heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he desired to meet with Christ. He had about 3 years to do it. He didn't need to travel very far to find Christ. The Queen of Sheba went a great journey to find the truth. The Queen of Sheba had heard via merchants, travellers and sailors. And what was she to make of all these tales that she heard? Herod had heard about Christ from John the Baptist. Was there a greater preacher, a greater prophet than John the Baptist to declare about Christ? Herod, being in Galilee, would have had vast numbers of eyewitness accounts. No doubt a lot of all that the Queen of Sheba had heard would have been people who have said, we've heard that Solomon has built this glorious temple, describing the glory of it. Herod would have met people that could say, we have seen Christ. We have seen him heal people. We know that he has healed a blind man. He fed me. I was one of the 5,000. What a great testimony Herod had. He was in the midst of Galilee, the midst of all these people. In these day and ages, when we hear testimonies of people being healed, we ask about it, and no one can give us. I've never heard someone say that they have been healed by Christ. I've heard a lot of people say they know of people, but here was Herod that could have that first-hand account. He had that desire, we read of it first, to see Christ, but he did nothing about his desire. His desire, consider a few of the reasons possibly why he had this desire. It wasn't serious. It wasn't that heart desire that we read of the Queen of Sheba. It was to do with his intellect, his curiosity, or anything else. And then we read in Luke 13 how that Herod desired to kill Christ. That wasn't a very serious desire to meet Christ. Was that why he wanted to meet Christ, to kill him? We're not quite sure. But the Queen of Sheba, as I said, serious and travelled to meet Solomon. But there was Herod. All those privileges, all those opportunities to meet Christ. He had had such a witness and such a testimony, yet he remained hardened. And then eventually he did meet Christ. As we read in verse 8, it says, for he was desirous to see him of a long season. A long time he had, and yet he had done nothing to meet with Christ. In fact, he didn't organise this meeting with Christ. Pilate heard that Christ was from Galilee and suddenly thought this was a way that he could get rid of Christ from his jurisdiction and send him to Herod. So Herod hadn't done anything about trying to meet with Christ. The world would say this was an accident, but we know over and above all these events, the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ were working out that great plan of salvation. So how serious was Herod's desire? Again, it wasn't a heart desire, it was a desire of the head, perhaps of curiosity, of intellect. The word of God tells us in Jeremiah, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Again, the Queen of Sheba bears testimony to that truth of that statement. She sought with all her heart and she found God. She came to Solomon. She found the truth. She found the truth about God. She found all that Herod had done. No, sorry, all that Solomon had done. She saw the glory of the temple and she was caused to worship God, to become a believer in God. Herod, with all those privileges, he wasn't seeking. He might have said to all those people he was desirous to meet Christ, but he wasn't serious. Herod had converted to Judaism, so he would have been familiar with the Old Testament, yet he was not willing to seek and to see whether Christ was the Messiah, as was going around, as all those rumours, as all those things that were being said, all those people that were witnessing that they'd seen the blind restored to sight, that they'd seen people healed, they'd seen people raised from the dead. Yet Herod did nothing about it. As we said, John the Baptist had preached to Herod, yet he remained hardened. He wanted to see Jesus, perhaps to confirm his own belief that this wasn't, or as the crowds were saying, John the Baptist raised again, this wasn't another prophet. He was a Sadducee. Perhaps he wanted to confirm that there was no resurrection of the body. But he wasn't willing to seek out the truth about Christ, to come with that genuine questioning mind. He came wanting to mock and to scoff at the Lord Jesus Christ. Unlike the Queen of Sheba, who came with that open mind, wanting to know whether these things were true, to see with her own eyes. She had heard so much, and she came in unbelief. Herod had unbelief. The Queen of Sheba left with belief. Herod continued in his unbelief and in his hardness of heart. The Queen of Sheba came to prove him, Solomon, with hard questions. And Solomon answered her questions. She listened to what Solomon said, and she went away, having heard the words of Solomon, believing. Herod, as I said, desiring to see Christ, but he had all the wrong motives. He didn't hear the words of John the Baptist. His conscience might have been troubled, but he didn't seek forgiveness for his sins. He had heard, again, as I said, of those people healed, those people that had seen the miracles, yet he would not come and see for himself whether Christ really was the Messiah, the Anointed. Herod wanted to meet Christ, as we're told, for a bit of entertainment, because we read at the end of verse 8, he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. He wanted to meet Christ for some entertainment, for the novelty value of seeing a miracle, something to satisfy his senses, something that he could go and tell his friends about, great stories, rather than come and see Christ as the Anointed, as the Messiah, as the one sent to redeem sinners, to save sinners, as the one that could forgive sin. And even in today, the world is full of the Herods, isn't it? They want to see miracles. They want to see signs and wonders. It's always been like that, though. As Paul reminds the Corinthians, for we walk by faith, not by sight. As Hebrews 11, that great definition, tells us that faith is believing the word of God, hoping for things not seen. And we're called to live by faith. We don't come to Christ for the novelty value, to see miracles. We come because we believe he is the Messiah. We come trusting him. We come to him for forgiveness, for salvation. And if signs were so powerful, wouldn't we just consider the word of God? You look back, Pharaoh and all those signs he had, yet his heart was still hardened. The people of Israel, all the signs they had, that deliverance from Pharaoh, yet they wouldn't believe and trust the Lord God. In the New Testament, all the scribes and the Pharisees, all those signs they had seen, yet they would not believe. They still wallowed in their unbelief. As Christ said, they were an evil and adulterous generation. Evil because they would not believe the word of God. Evil because they would not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Evil because they would not recognize that the one that had done these signs and these miracles was truly man, truly God, truly the Son of God. An adulterous generation because they'd rather follow anybody or any other religion than the true God. The Queen of Sheba went to ask questions. She asked the questions. She listened to the answers. She took note of the answers. Again, as our brother reminded us, faith comes by the hearing of the word of God and obeying it. Herod asked the questions. We'll see why Christ didn't answer him. But Herod was asking those questions to mock, out of the wrong motive, to scorn, to ridicule Christ. Queen of Sheba was asking the right questions with the right motives. Herod did ask questions, but why didn't Christ answer him? We can learn some of these lessons from the way that Christ dealt with Herod. The preacher Solomon in Ecclesiastes says, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. And we see that Solomon knew that it was the time to speak to the Queen of Sheba. Christ knew before Herod that it was the time to keep silent. Christ, before Herod, it was the right time for him to remain silent. Why was that silence right? One of those reasons is that it's the fulfillment of prophecy. The whole of Scripture, all the events of Scripture, as we read Scripture, if we compare Scripture with Scripture, will confirm the truth of the Word of God to us. As Isaiah tells us, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. We see Christ opening not his mouth, fulfilling the prophecies, confirming that he was the one that the prophets had spoken about. As we read in the Psalm 38, again that prophecy referring to Christ. In Psalm 38, verses 13 and 18. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was a dumb man that opened not his mouth. Thus I was a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. Christ, before Herod, remain silent. And so we see Christ again confirming Scripture, confirming to us that he is that Messiah, that he is the Anointed One. Christ's behaviour confirms to us the veracity, the truth of Scripture. It confirms to us that Christ is the incarnate Word, the living Word. And so we can strengthen our faith by comparing Scripture with Scripture, seeing how Christ dealt with those questions. Christ knew that it was a time to be silent. There's a time to speak, as Solomon knew, but there's a time to be silent. And as we reread in 1 Peter, Christ is our example. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we read, and verse 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And Christ, as we read in verse 21, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. There is a time to be silent. As Christ told us, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Just consider that scene of Christ before Herod, standing alone, but alongside Herod was the chief priests, the scribes, the men of war, and there was a mob. Herod asking questions, the mob goading, encouraging Herod to ask more questions, to ask harder questions, to ask silly questions. But Christ answered not. He was not going to cast pearls before the swine. He was not going to open his mouth and allow them to have further opportunity for jeering. As Amos tells us, therefore the prudent shall keep silent in that time, for it is an evil time. And surely this was an evil time. Christ was prudent, and so he kept silent. And we need to learn when to keep silent. I expect we've all seen open-air preaching. When a heckler starts, when there's a mob, you can soon end into an argument. Or perhaps you're at work and you're talking about spiritual matters and there's several people there. They soon start to mock and goad each other on. And so there can be a time to keep silent. You can talk to someone as an individual from that mob and they'll listen to you. And they'll consider what you say. But so often, if there's a group of unbelievers together, they will act like Herod and that mob there. They will want to goad. They will want to ask silly questions. They'll want to try and trip you up. And so there can be a time when to be silent. If you'll forgive a personal example, I can remember someone coming to work and finding out I was a Christian. And he asked a question, and I immediately realised he was trying to goad me. So I decided I wouldn't say anything. I knew very well that if I opened my mouth and answered his question, there'd be another one, and we would get to nowhere. So there's a time to speak and a time to be silent. Christ shows us the time to be silent. Solomon shows us the time when we can discuss, when we can answer those hard questions. Excuse me. And as we said, there were those men of war that then, having not been able to get Christ to respond to all their questions, they then mock him. As we read in Luke 23, and the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. It wasn't gentle questioning, it was vehement. They were angry. Because Christ hadn't answered, he had said nothing. And so the aggravation, the aggression raises. And finally, Herod, with his men of war, those great warriors, were then mocking Christ. They mocked him. They arrayed him in that gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. They had heard Christ's answer to Caesar, to Pilate, when Pilate had asked him whether he was the king of the Jews, and he answered him and said, thou sayest it. They had misinterpreted Christ's words about being a king. They would not consider spiritual matters. They were concerned with matters of this world, about kingdoms of this world. They were dead, they were blind, they were deaf to what Christ said. They had no interest in what Christ said. They wanted to take Christ's words and twist them. And so Christ knew to remain silent before this mob. And that's the state of the natural man. They will hear the word from the Bible, and they will take it, and they'll twist it. They will seek not to understand it, not to even consider it. Remember what happened to Samson. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, they said, "Call for Samson, that we may make a sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And so we need to learn that lesson of Christ, that we don't enter in to the fun and the frivolity when that mob is baying, when that mob is attacking our Saviour, to learn that lesson, to keep silent. So said, the Queen of Sheba left Solomon a friend. They were united around the Lord God. They exchanged gifts and went on their way, blessing God. Herod wanted nothing to do with Christ. He sends him back to Pilate. And we see that he becomes friends with Pilate. He continued in his enmity towards God, but he makes peace with Pilate. And so he continues an enemy of God. No interest in what Christ had done, no interest in Christ's testimony, and he was content to dismiss Christ and not seek after the truth. But again, the psalmist tells us, the Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart, and such as be of a contrite spirit. The Queen of Sheba, that contrite spirit. Herod, a proud heart. Definitely not a contrite spirit, a proud and arrogant man, a man that thought he was important because he was the Tetrarch of Galilee, a man that liked to be called king. And so he would not listen to Christ. He had no interest in the things of Christ. The Queen of Sheba, a broken and a contrite spirit, she heard the words of life. And so as we've considered this comparison, this difference, I hope you'll be able to go away and perhaps think a bit more about the differences, the way, the contrast between these two people and their approach to seeking after the truth. We've seen God's dealings with men, with rulers, with those in authority. We're to pray for the rulers. We're to pray for that wisdom, to know when to speak, to be able to speak that word in season, but also to have that wisdom to keep silent, to be like the Queen of Sheba, to come to ask those questions, but if we ask those questions, comparing them with Scripture, to be like the Bereans, to search out those things and to compare them with Scripture, to ask those questions and seek the answer from Scripture. Pilate wanted to ask the questions, but he didn't want to consider the answer, and therefore Christ was silent. And so I do pray that we'll learn some lessons from Herod and Christ's appearance before him. Amen. We'll close with the singing of hymn number 497. Now to the power of God supreme be everlasting honours given. He saves from hell, we bless his name. He calls our wandering feet to heaven. Hymn number 497.
Thank you.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and for evermore. Amen.